Well, that's right. It's a mighty fortress is our God. And that is what we're going to be talking about on this February the 9th in the year of our Lord 2016. I'm Tom Baker. It's a Rumination Tuesday. And before I bring Reverend Mark Smith on board, we had a question in the promo. You know, I always like beginning a sermon, which I did last night. I was preaching with a question that most people get wrong. And sure enough, here's a question I'll often give at a seminar. In fact, I just did this last Sunday. I said, there's a very good hymn where it says, on earth is not his equal. Who, of course, is that referring to? And everybody, except maybe two, said it refers to Jesus. Is that correct, Pastor Mark Smith?
The hymn is talking about Satan, actually. Happy Shrove Tuesday, Tom. Fat Tuesday, that is.
Well, thanks a lot. I'm trying to keep my weight a secret. So this is the day you celebrate me, or what?
No. No, this is the last day before Lent.
Oh, it's Lent tomorrow?
Yeah, Lent begins tomorrow, Ash Wednesday. Yes.
Well, you know what I love about Lent?
Preaching.
No, hot cross buns.
Oh, hot cross buns.
Hot cross buns. Yeah, in fact, I forgot. Well, she's listening. Yeah, Louise, make sure you get some hot cross buns. Because they only come out during Lent. Isn't that amazing? On earth is not his equal. How many people almost have a mighty fortress is our God memorized, and they rarely get the right answer?
Yes, I know.
I mean, it's just really amazing. This is why we have a Tuesday on the hymns, because the goal of Tuesday is not to teach you how to sing the hymn. It's to teach you how to read the words. So you should always phone your congregation, on Tuesday or Wednesday. Normally the pastor knows what the hymns are going to be by then, or at least a lot of churches just do the hymn of the week. And for some reason, what's this coming up? It's the first Sunday in Lent.
And of course, no doubt the lessons are always the temptation, the Jesus temptation out in the wilderness. And who, of course, tempts him but Satan?
That's right. So it's perfectly
understandable why they should choose this hymn as the hymn of the day.
Yes. Yeah, I had a good question in my sermon last night. There was a congregation that's beginning worship services occasionally on a Monday, and they asked me to come in and preach for them. And we almost ran out of communion wine. I asked him, how many people are you going to have there? Well, three or four, but there were like 18.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was really good. So,
Did you run out of?
No, because they also had the common cup.
Oh, uh-huh.
And about a third of them took the common cup. And
they have a service Monday night.
Yeah. Well, a lot of churches have Monday nights.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Saturday night or Monday night?
Yeah, we have it Saturday.
Yeah.
Saturday evening.
The question I asked, so I said, you know, sometimes in the Lutheran Witness, they'll have a tour to Israel. So I asked, put your hand up if you've ever been to Christ's Mount of Transfiguration. And nobody put their hand up.
We don't know exactly which mountain that was.
Well, I began the sermon.
Mount Hermon, they think. They think it might have been Mount Hermon.
Or Mount Tabor,
yeah, that's right.
Because that's the highest. Hermon's the highest mountain in Israel, but Tabor is closer where Jesus was in the previous chapters, and it's a high mountain also. So we really don't know. But I gave that as the first reason why people don't put their hand up. But I said the second reason is I went through the Transfiguration.
Yes.
And I pointed to three important ingredients. Jesus was transfigured, which is the word metamorphosized.
Right.
Number two, Peter wanted to build a tabernacle for all three.
A tent, right.
Number three, God the Father spoke.
Right.
So I said, guess what? You don't have to go to Israel to get to the Mount of Transfiguration. You just go to this sanctuary. And I pointed out that all three things happened even better than they happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. Not only do you hear the Father, but you also hear the Son and the Holy Spirit through the hymns, the liturgy, the sermon, etc. Number two,
Let me finish. Okay.
Yeah. Number two, Deuteronomy this week says that Moses tells the people, gather all the produce and then take it to the place where God chooses to be worshipped. And so I made that point that God doesn't choose to be worshipped just anywhere, but in this sanctuary where word is taught purely in the sacraments administratively. Then the last thing I said was, do we see the metamorphosis of Jesus? And the point I made was kind of interesting for me, is it was almost a reversal, that rather than just seeing him in his brilliance,
we take and eat him.
The
I stole your thunder.
No, you didn't, because I wasn't going to say it that way.
Okay, what were we going to say?
I was going to say that on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus was enveloped or enclosed in his brilliance, but at the Lord's Supper, your mouth is enclosing the body and blood of Christ. And that's a far better and greater tremendous experience than just seeing him brilliant. And then I went into the various presences of Jesus. I think they want you to wave to them. We've got about 40 students out here. I think they're going to chapel, and then they're probably coming in here too. At any rate, how many presences of Jesus? Do you remember about that?
Oh, boy. There's the local mode. There's the illocal mode.
That's good. I had seven of them. There's the three-dimensional, what you call the local mode, where Jesus was on earth. You could touch him, see him, etc.
Right.
At the same time, he was in his omniscient mode, where he was everywhere.
Right.
I'm sorry, omnipresent mode, not omniscient. And then you have his holy mode, where he appears sometimes, where you have to take off your shoes, like at the burning bush.
Right.
Then you have his transfigured mode, and then you
have his resurrected mode.
Then you have his glorious transfigured mode, and that was going to be in heaven, where he is so bright that there's no need for the sun. And then the resurrection mode, because he could go through
walls,
exactly,
and block doors.
Well said. And then I finally ended up with the sacramental mode, where he is under the bread and the wine.
Is that five?
I don't know.
Maybe. I remember going over those.
Yeah. Some people at the end said, boy, we never realized all the presence that Jesus has and such. So remember, the goal of every sermon is to give them something they never heard
before. That's right.
And so they didn't realize. One lady who was coming to this service because she can't make it to the other one said, boy, am I ever glad I was here tonight, because she hadn't realized that every worship service is a Mount of Transfiguration mode.
You know, that would be a good Bible class, just talking about the different modes of his presence.
That's what we're doing right now, Mark.
Yes.
This is a Bible study on KFUO, and we're talking about it. No. I got that from Professor Klein. I don't know what Professor told you.
H. Richard Klein.
Yeah, just a tremendous guy. Just insights. Wonderful. But this was at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. He died recently, And the reason we're kind of talking about this, a mighty fortress, we just kind of went over during the Reformation. So you can go back to whenever the Reformation was, you know, here October 31st, and Mark
almost 500 years ago.
We weren't on the radio then, Mark. I'm talking about going back in the archives. I've only been on the air 200 years. So, boy, this is 500 years ago. All right, a mighty fortress is our God. But we should read the first stanza, because this is where the devil is brought up.
Okay.
If you'd be so kind to do so.
A mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon. He helps us free from every need that hath us now o'ertaken. The old evil foe now means deadly woe. Deep guile and great might are his dread arms in fight. On earth is not his equal.
Now, the reason people get that question wrong, on earth is not his equal, thinking it refers to Jesus, because they think Jesus is on earth. You know, because in the wilderness, who won?
Christ, Jesus.
Yes. So he was more than equal to the devil. But what we're talking about is that this is the home of the devil.
Yeah.
This is the place.
This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will. We're talking there about Satan.
Yes, yes, yes. And I really like the other one. He's judged. The deed is done. One little
word
can
fell him.
Yeah, that's right. Although Martin Luther had to throw an ink bottle at him.
Yes.
You remember that?
Yes, I've heard about that. Yes.
He thought he saw a vision of the devil on the wall, so he threw an ink bottle.
I understand they can still point to the spot on the wall where he threw that.
Really?
I've heard that.
Was that during his translation of the Bible at the Warburg Castle?
I do not know.
Yeah, I don't either. Have to talk to somebody who's better than us when it comes to history. Although, I tell you, Andy Bates had a lady on about a week ago, and she pretended she was Katie Luther.
But that was interesting.
It was tremendous. I was really learning things I didn't know from what she had to say. And I'm sure there are, you know, books, but you'd have to read probably 5-6 books. But she goes around and does this in churches. It's really interesting, talking about being his wife and talked about their children, and one died, etc. And
Magdalena, I think.
Yeah. It was just very, very, very interesting. So during this Reformation, we're coming up to the, as you said, what, the 500th anniversary. There are a lot of things going on in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. A good friend of mine, Randy Golter, is kind of heading a lot of that stuff up. So you can even go to the website and get information. So for 500 years, although I see a much more kind of important celebration coming, nobody's talking about. What's that one?
You're talking about the resurrection.
Yes. Do you know his birth, 2,000 years, his birth was celebrated in 1996? Do you remember anything going on? Nothing.
No.
2,000 years of his birth, and we didn't have anything going on. I mean, even I didn't even think about it. So when I'm talking about his resurrection, you know, this is really going to be something coming up then. All those kids are looking at you again. You better turn around and wave. So, Mighty Fortress is our God. When we decided to play the piece, we found the right tune, but they had different words. It said, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark, it said, rather than a trusty shield. And then even in our hymnal, there are two a mighty fortresses. The next one is, a mighty fortress is our God, a sword and shield victorious. You know, in this particular hymnal you and I are looking at the bottom, they often have the Bible verses. But for a mighty fortress, they ought to have 40 of them.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I always think of Psalm 46.
Yes. That's the number
one. God is our refuge and strength.
Yeah, that's where he gets the idea. Now, I found this interesting. I find everything interesting.
Everything's interesting to you, Tom.
Yes.
You've got to vary your adjectives.
Okay. I find this astounding. That Calvin never wrote a hymn that wasn't a direct translation from the Psalms. Luther was one of the first to start paraphrasing.
Uh-huh.
Because some of these words and these images are not there. They didn't talk about a fortress so much in the days of Psalm 46, but that's what would be the thing available at the time of Luther.
Sure.
Yeah, so they kind of updated things. A mighty fortress is, if I wrote the hymn, it would be a mighty white castle is our God, maybe. No, wait a minute, that's not a real castle.
Now you've got to give those up for Lent, Tom, right? Not necessarily.
I got to give them up for Lent?
No, I'm just kidding.
I can't do that. I just got a person sent me a card with white castles, $15 worth. So I went there and I only have $2 left. But anyway, they are more expensive. There's no doubt about that. But why don't you go ahead And I think we need to read stanza two.
With might of ours cannot be done, soon were our loss effected. But for us fights the valiant one, whom God himself elected. Ask ye who is this? Jesus Christ it is, of Sabaoth Lord, and there's none other God. He holds the field forever.
Talk about a Lutheran emphasis here. With might of ours cannot be done, or in any, with all of our strength, we really cannot do anything. In fact, that is a direct quote, although it's not here, from Mark 10, the rich man.
Right. With God, it is impossible.
No.
The rich young ruler? Is that what you're thinking?
With God, it is impossible?
With God. No, what do we say?
With man, it is impossible.
With man, it is impossible, but not with God, for with God, all things are possible.
Yes, yes.
That's what I meant to say.
Well, of course. You know, that's every sermon. Well, I didn't mean to say he wasn't the Trinity. He really is a part of the Trinity. Even that verse is misused. Remember, my theory is that every verse can be understood in two ways. The right way and the wrong way. The right way is properly divine law and gospel. The wrong way is improperly. So here's how they understand this.
How's that misunderstood? I want to know.
Okay. With man, it is impossible. I can't do anything by myself. But with the help of God, then I can make a decision to invite him into my heart.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But yeah. I can't invite him into my heart, no.
Well,
that's got to be God's work.
Yeah, but they don't understand that text that way.
Right.
They say, with the help of God, that's really how they understand the text. Mm-hmm. But the text is very clear. With man it is impossible, and with all the help of God it's impossible. So God does it by himself, without any help from you. And the best analogy, of course, is how do you get into the kingdom of God? By adoption. What does a baby do to get adopted?
Absolutely nothing.
That's right.
It's God's grace.
And so you can paraphrase it this way, if I was updating the Bible. With a baby, it is impossible to do anything to be adopted. But with parents and a judge, all things are possible. You notice how the baby doesn't
not a thing
figure in at all on the second. But a lot of people will jump on that other verse you gave. And see, that's not a verse about justification. It's a verse about
sanctification.
Very good. Yeah, yeah.
That I always use the parable of the lost coin. The parable of the lost coin. There's no way a coin can jump back into the jar or whatever you keep the coin in. The woman had to sweep her house, and she had to take the initiative and find that lost coin.
That's right. That's right. But even with the lost sheep, you'd have to change the parable, that the sheep sees Jesus and jumps out of the hole and runs up to Jesus and jumps on his shoulders.
No, it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't work that way at all. And then even worse is the what's called the prodigal son, which is the wrong title for that. But that would be, and most people really mess this up.
Yes.
Because the first two, the sheep and the coin, there's no repentance on their part at all.
No.
There's nothing they do. But they think that when the young man says, I know what I'll do, I'll go back to my father, tell him, you know, I'm not worthy to be called your son. They think that's repentance.
No, it isn't.
Because the next part is, make me one of your best hired servants. Give me lots of money. And not until the father does his action does proper repentance come, and he leaves out the part, make me one of your hired servants.
That's right.
Yeah, so all three parables show that all
God
the action,
does it all.
Exactly.
God takes the initiative.
And it's impossible for a sheep to be found, for a coin to be found, and for a prodigal son to return properly until he sees what the Father has done for him. So every religion are sorry for their sins because of the consequences.
That's why Jesus says, if you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Yes. It's not your works will set you free, or your cooperation with me will set you free. No, it's the truth. And what is the truth? I am
Jesus.
The way, the truth,
Jesus
and
is the
life.
Truth, right?
Yes, the truth. And that means more than that he just gives good arguments or proper facts. It means that he's the one that actually saves us. He's our only savior. So we don't really need to go through all of it, but maybe the last verse would be good to read anyway.
The word they still shall let remain, nor any thanks have for it. He's by our side upon the plain with his good gifts and spirit. And take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Though these all be gone, our victory has been won. The kingdom ours remaineth.
So the word they still shall let remain from the previous verse, it's talking about the devil again. You know, one little word can fell him. And that one little word is begone. In fact, how did Jesus overcome in the temptation?
Begone, well, Satan. In fact, he resorted upon his word. He didn't, you know, he could have used his almighty power. He could have.
Yeah.
But all he had to do was resort to.
Do you remember what book of the Bible he quoted all three times? It was Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he just, which is kind of interesting. The devil tries to tempt him. And here's what he says. Thou shalt not tempt the
Lord thy God.
Which means he's saying he's God.
Right.
Yeah, because you're trying to tempt me and you're not supposed to be tempting God. I mean, how anybody can read the Bible and not think Jesus is God is beyond me. I mean, there's just, people worship him. And it's very clear from the book of Revelation that it says, worship only God. You know, John falls down in front of the angel. And the angel says, no, I'm a creature. Worship only God. So, a mighty fortress is our God. I don't know. Are you planning on singing that this week? You haven't decided your hymns.
Yeah, no, I haven't picked the hymns yet. But I'm probably going to heavily consider that one.
Yeah.
In fact, I usually do try to pick the hymn of the day.
In the sermon, you'd want to maybe quote some of this with the... Now, I'm preaching also this Sunday, but I'm not going to be talking about the temptation at all. And I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to be talking about because everybody will get the right answer. I got another really good one that nobody's going to have the right answer. Although yesterday a lady said, next time you ask your question, I'm just going to put my hand up. And I said, then I'll call on you and ask you, why did you put your hand up? Oh, well, I don't know why, but I know. Yeah, it's a technique that I'm going to be teaching pretty soon on a webinar. How to get a standing ovation, not for the pastor, but for Jesus. And it's a way, some people just do naturally good sermons. I know I hear people who hear you preach. I know of individuals who joined your church because of your preaching. But I think if you turn on evangelical radio, boy, do you ever get things that are messed up. Okay. What are all your services?
Oh, well, we've got Ash Wednesday service at 7 p.m. Wednesday. 7 p.m. Wednesday, and we're spending the Lenten series on the Lord's Prayer. We'll be examining the different petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven is the theme for this coming Wednesday evening. And that's every Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Okay.
And then Sunday, of course. Saturday, we have an evening service at 5 p.m., and Sunday, we have a service at 9 a.m.
9 a.m.
We'd love to have you at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Crestwood, south of the Watson and New Sappington intersection.
What's your communion type schedule?
Our communion schedule? We have communion every Sunday except the fourth Sunday. Oh. And on the fourth Sunday, instead of the Sunday, we have it the Saturday night service.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. And then I'll explain that I'm going to Emmanuel Lutheran. We're going to be looking at a portion of the book of Revelation. Emmanuel Lutheran Church, 9733 Olive Boulevard, beginning at 11 a.m. And then tomorrow we're going to have a Bible verse where we're going to take a look at the insight of it to help you understand the Bible better from a law and gospel perspective. Thank you, Pastor Mark Smith. Next Tuesday, God willing. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com.